We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's C-Sparky, 5 for 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout here on 1250 AM. The Fan, being joined now to talk some Bucks. Haven't talked Bucks in quite a while with Eric Name. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name of The Athletic. Eric, first things first, I guess a great piece that you wrote on The Athletic talking about how the Bucks defense is going to be undergoing some changes this year and really trying to focus on sticking more to those three-point shooters. Why do you think the change now? I mean, I think a lot of fans were asking for this change to happen for the last couple of years, but it took till now to finally do something.
I think for me, it was just listening to people talk about it. It was the fact that they weren't a great defensive team last year. Over the years, yes, people have wanted them to guard three-point shooters more often, but they've been one of the best defenses in the league. And if you're one of the best defenses in the league, you kind of live with certain things, and the Bucks decided that they were going to live with, you know, three-point shooters going off. As long as they weren't the team's best three-point shooter or the best scorer, fine. If your role players want to hit 10 threes in a game, the Bucks were fine living with that. And I just think overall they weren't good enough last year. The defense wasn't good, and there's plenty of ways to, you know, slice it, right? Like, I could just say Brook Lopez didn't play the whole season. Okay, yeah, that's why you weren't as good defensively, but I do think, you know, they really broke it down this summer and decided that with the way that the league is trending, that they needed to do something about this.
What about the effects of not having Chris Middleton, especially when you get into the postseason, and obviously that affects the defense as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think so many people couldn't believe that the Bucks went with the Dare Grant Williams to shoot threes strategy in game seven, and you know, you kept looking at that roster and I was like, well, what do you want them to do? That they can't go to a small ball lineup because their 6'8" wing that unlocks all of their flexibility is not in the lineup. So how are you going to create a small ball lineup? How are you going to do these other things when you don't have the guys? And I do think this is very appropriate. This is, I think, the first time in history Chris Middleton has gotten the respect he deserves, because pretty much everyone thinks if Chris Middleton was healthy, the Bucks are in the finals for a second straight season last year. So, I think having him defensively would have helped. I think Brook Lopez for the whole season would have helped. I think there's lots of questions you could ask. So I honestly am a little bit surprised that they've decided to make this change, but it's going to be really interesting to see. I think there's a lot of Bucks fans that think, oh yeah, guard the three and everything's going to be fine. I'm curious if it's not. There's a reason why they did this stuff for so long. There's a reason why they decided to use this strategy for so long. And I'm curious, you know, do they give up more alley-oops in the pick and roll? Do they give up more lobs? Do they give up more floaters? Do teams find it easier to get to the rim? And do they score more effectively on Giannis and Brooke, who have both been very high on the list of best rim protectors in the league? Is it all of a sudden easier when the drives to the rim are easier? So I'm really curious to see how this all works out, if the Bucks stick with it, and just how drastic it is. We didn't really get a good look at this the other night because none of the Grizzlies played. We didn't really get a really good, interesting look at this. So I'm really curious to see how this unfolds as the season gets underway.
You had a piece of video inside that piece where, you know, like you said, Ja Morant didn't play, the main guys didn't play, but where the guard kind of goes to the rim, and instead of collapsing on the guard going to the rim and leaving the guys in the corners open, both players, defenders, stayed with their guys and kind of made that guard have to make a play at the rim at that point. My main concern in all of this is what you said, yes, to a degree, but my other point is foul trouble. Because now you're asking Brook Lopez and Giannis to kind of be more aggressive and more out there. And Giannis already sometimes gets himself in some foul trouble. Lopez as well. And are we confident that a Serge Ibaka and a Bobby Portis are going to be rim protectors at this point if Lopez gets in early foul trouble and then you still want to play this type of basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why these questions all get really interesting, because over the years, Mike Boonholzer defenses don't foul. That's that he takes that from Greg Popovich. They're always going to be at the very bottom of the league at foul rate defensively. This opens up the potential for fouls. It just does. Like, if those guys have to eat up all these drives, if Giannis and Brooke are back there and asked to do this all the time, there is a very real possibility that they just pick up a bunch of fouls. And like you said, Bobby Portis has never been a good rim protector. The Bucks have found ways to help him survive defensively. They've played him a lot with Giannis. They've played him some with Brooke. Like, they've found a way to make it work, but Bobby has never been a great defender. And Serge Ibaka, frankly, hasn't been a real contributor in almost 2 years. Like, no matter what team he's playing with, he just hasn't been. So can he, you know, wind back the clock and actually give you some minutes in those situations? So I do think, you know, it was celebratory yesterday on Twitter watching Bucks fans react to, you know, the story that I dropped. But I do think, you know, you might want to hold off on the celebration for a little bit yet, because you just don't know if this is going to work. There are real changes that are happening, and we'll see if it does.
I just think that part of this very well may be in games where they fear shooters in the corners, you'll see this. And in games where they're not as concerned, you may see the old style of Bucks defense until somebody proves they can hit a corner three a couple of times, and then you may see them make a switch, which I don't think is a bad thing. It keeps them off guard a little bit as far as the opposing offense, depending on how Bud wants to play defensively, possession to possession. The other part of this that I'm relatively concerned about, I guess, looking at this roster right now, and I know, you know, you guys just put out The Athletic, the Bucks are picked to win the NBA championship, which is great, but this backup point guard position doesn't appear to be any better than it was when the season ended last year, and I had my questions about it last year, and if they would have moved on from Carter and George Hill, I would have been completely fine with that. Is there any reason to believe that this situation will be any better than it was last year?
I mean, I think with the Bucks year over year, one of the big things that they really take a lot of pride in is guys getting better in their system, guys growing internally.
Sure.
And I know there's always a lot of people that say, oh, you know, the Bucks don't develop anyone. You know, they haven't, you know, drafted guys and done all that. And I agree with that. That is true. But I do think one of the things that gets a little underrated, because it's hard to quantify, it's hard to like talk about, is guys get better in Milwaukee. Year over year, guys get better in Milwaukee. Like, to think about where Pat Connaughton was when he first got to Milwaukee to where he is now, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, like, literally go down the line. Every single player gets better. So I do think, you know, they have some hope internally that Javon Carter really turns it on. And I mean, he was useful when he was here last year. I mean, he shot 44% from the 3-point line during the regular season.
But was that real, though? I mean, we have not seen that out of him up until that point. Was that real, or was that just, you know, a blip on a radar, caught lightning in a bottle for a year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to shoot 44%, but I do think, you know, there's a real possibility that he can shoot upper 30s from three, and if he can do a little bit more offensively, maybe that means Bud trusts him a little bit more. Because that's always the big thing with Mike Budenholzer, is he's really not a guy that loves specialists. It's, if the only thing you can do is this one thing, he sometimes doesn't want to play you, because you got to be able to do everything. You got to be able to move. You got to be able to cut. You got to be able to put the ball on the ground. Like, you got to be able to do all of that. And I'm genuinely, I do think their hope is that Javon Carter has grown. And then also, I think they are really hopeful, and I don't even know if it's warranted, but, you know, I think they're hopeful that the quarter zone shots that George Hill got in his neck fix it. Like, it was clear last year that George Hill was not himself. That injury in his spine really affected him. He talked about how he couldn't feel some of his fingers at times last year. Like, I think the hope is that, hey, we got him 5 months of this offseason to really get right. And if he is, he can be useful. That remains to be seen. I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can stay healthy. It's a backs and necks. It's dangerous. Those are injuries that can just linger. So I think that's the hope. But I agree with you. I think the questions about the backup point guard position are totally valid.
This Chris Middleton story that everybody's getting all hot and bothered by, as far as, you know, will Middleton pick up the player option or won't he after the year? You know, he's got an option for about $40 million, and then the following year he's a free agent. The Tyler Hero extension probably didn't help things, because, I mean, 4 years at $130 million, that's a lot of damn money for a guy that's not Chris Middleton, for darn sure, at this point. Now it becomes whether or not Chris Middleton thinks he can get more than $40 million a year if he hits the open market and opts out. And to be honest with you, I don't know the answer to that question. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been interesting to see people talk about it, because, frankly, I wasn't expecting anything this offseason. I wasn't expecting Chris to do anything before the season with his contract, because he can sign that player option until June 29th.
Correct.
Of next year.
Yep.
So we got what? What was that, 10 months?
The whole season.
9 months.
Yep.
He can do it at any time. So if you're Chris Middleton and, you know, you come back from this injury and your left hand isn't right, okay, well, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm still going to get that 40 mil. Like, I'll do it whenever I need to. So he has that in the back pocket. And if you're the Bucks, I don't think you want to extend him before the season, because unless you're getting the best deal in the world, like, I don't know if you know what Chris Middleton is going to be going forward. Like, I think you need to see him get back out on the floor and see what he can do and make sure that he's healthy going forward. So I just think, for me personally, I don't see anything happening there, just because I think it'll be really difficult to get traction from both sides and, you know, get a deal that makes sense. But like you said, man, Tyler Hero just made a whole bunch of money, and he's never done what Chris Middleton's done.
Nope.
And also, he only plays one side of the floor.
Yep.
Chris Middleton, for as much as people might not want to give him credit defensively, he's been an NBA caliber defender at 6'8" on the wing for his entire career. That's just what it is. He's not a shutdown guy. He's not PJ Tucker. Yeah, I get it. But he's been a good defender his entire career. He's going to be that again. And I think what kind of where we're heading is, you know, the last time Chris Middleton came up for a contract, Matt Velasquez and I spent the entire season telling Bucks fans, he's going to get the max. It doesn't matter if you think he's worth it. It doesn't matter if you think he can be the number one on another team, on a number two, whatever you think, he's going to get the max. I think there's going to be a bunch of money out there for Chris Middleton. There's a bunch of teams that are going to be looking at this guy and saying, hey, this could be the final piece that we need. If we have a young star, if we have an old star, I mean, if Russell Westbrook comes off the books for the Lakers, I don't know. If you're the Los Angeles Lakers, could Chris Middleton be your number three?
For sure.
Well, seems pretty good.
No doubt.
And in L.A., I don't think they're going to have any problems paying that money. And if you're Chris Middleton, I could go end my career in L.A. Like, whether or not he wants to do that, I don't know that he does. But it's a nice thing to have in your back pocket, right? And I think throughout all this, people are just going to have to really understand and realize that Chris Middleton is going to be in line to make a whole bunch of money. As long as he comes back healthy from all this and performs at the level that he's been at, he's going to be in a place that he can make a whole bunch of money. And that's just kind of the way it is. And whether or not you respect him or not, or you think he's great or not, he's going to be in line to make a whole bunch of money. So I don't see, unless they can figure out a pretty good discount or the Bucks decide to pay, kind of, I mean, Drew Holiday made a big extension last year. Like, the Bucks just signed up for it. So maybe they do that with Middleton as well, but I do think you're going to see them kind of play this year through, and at the end of it, you're going to have, contentious isn't the right word, but you're going to have real discussions once you get to the end of the season.
All right, I got two more. One of which was a picture that was floating out there of Giannis, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, Middleton, and Drew Holiday. And immediately people started saying, oh, is this going to be a starting five? Are they going to play these five together night in, night out? I would assume the answer to that is no. But having said that, how good would that five be if they did play together?
I mean, Bud has always liked being bigger. That's always kind of something that he's enjoyed leaning into. I mean, Bobby Portis was totally fine last year as a starter, and that's probably disrespectful. He was great. He filled in admirably when Brooke Lopez was out and put together the best season of his career. So I do think there's the idea that, you know, how do we find more ways to get him on the floor? I also think if he's out there with Giannis and Brooke, maybe that's easier. But defensively, I think it'd be really tough to have those three guys out on the floor and trying to match up and run the defensive scheme that we were just talking about. So I don't think that'll be the way that they go. They've always loved having, like, essentially three big men and having Bobby, whether it's coming for Brooke or coming for Giannis, Bobby fills that role, and then those are your three big men. We saw it when they started Bobby at the end of the year last year. It makes the substitution patterns a lot more difficult and makes putting lineups together a lot more difficult. So, I mean, I'm not going to say they won't do it. They could do it and get very creative with the substitutions. I just think you're probably going to see Bobby Portis continue to come off the bench just because he's really good in that role. It's really helpful to have a guy that can fill it up in the way that he can coming off the bench.
What's the likelihood that you think that Jay Crowder actually gets moved here between now and the start of the season? And do you think the Bucks have any chance of actually getting Jay Crowder or wanting Jay Crowder? Because me personally, I'd love to have him on this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Bucks, Jay Crowder makes a lot of sense. I also think, you know, over the years, essentially what you find out about the Bucks is they call on everything. Like, John Horst loves making a deal. John Horst is incredibly aggressive. He goes out of his way to make sure that this team, because they have Giannis, is going to be in a position to be in these conversations and to go out and get these guys and try to do that. So I have no doubts that, you know, the Bucks have inquired, but the Bucks are playing poker and the entire league can see their hand. They have George Hill, Grayson Allen, and some second round picks. That's the package.
That's it.
There's no like, oh, you know, if we talk to the Bucks for a while, we can get them to throw in X. There's no X. There's no Y. There's no Z. There's nothing else that they can throw in. So the whole league knows that if we want to do a deal with the Bucks and we have a player that happens to make somewhere between 10 and 13 million, this will be the package and it will remain the package. And will the Bucks put it on the table? Probably. Is it already on the table? Who knows? Maybe. But, like, everyone knows that's what the Bucks have, which, you know, in NBA trades, you always want to try to get more. You always want to have these discussions. As, you know, we hear more and more about these stories, it's always like, oh, yeah, you know, we've been talking about it for months, trying to get this deal across the finish line. There's no conversation anymore with the Bucks. Like, this is the deal. You want it? And that means, you know, if you're the Suns, or, you know, if what was it, Jordan Clarkson before, if you're the Utah Jazz, whoever, you go around to all the other teams to see if there's something else you like better there. Because is Grayson Allen solid? Yes, I do think he's solid. I do think that he's going to put together a great season if he ends up being a starter again this year with the Bucks. Like, he's going to be totally fine, but I don't know that really sets a lot of teams' hearts on fire. I don't think anyone's out there being like, man, we really got to get Grayson Allen. He works well in Milwaukee, but I just don't think that's the case. So I do think the Bucks will have interest in Jay Crowder, but you have the unfortunate situation where you can only offer your offer. And if they like it, that's fine. If they don't, well, they're going to probably go out and try to find something better.
He is Eric Name. Follow him on Twitter. He's the best at @Eric_Name, Bucks beat reporter at The Athletic. And of course, his book, 100 Things Bucks. How are those book sales been going, Eric?
They've been good. It's one of those that everyone, you can just, like, put it in your bathroom or put it on your coffee table. Yeah. And when people come through, it's like, oh, you got a Bucks book, let me read it. Or you have Father's Day, that tends to be a good one as well, because, you know, everyone tries to figure out something for their dad. Christmas is coming up as well. St. Nick's, I've seen people use that as like a stocking stuffer as well. So, lots of opportunities if you do enjoy the Bucks and want to learn a little bit more about them.
Amazon.com, go buy it today. There he is, Eric Name. Eric, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Eric Name. Another Milwaukee Sports Timeout here on 1250 AM, The Fan.